Blog Talk Radio.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, we're back again. Back again for another episode, a very precious episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel and Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Danny Miab, covering Remembrance Ministries. Again, so very thankful, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. These very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High every ear that He brings near, and I welcome you to this show. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I have for Him some very important, yes, some very important things for Him to do. Things for Him that I must do. Let me make that straight. He's told me that I have some very important things for His cause, for Him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do for Him, He told me that I should accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, for that promise, I can only be the utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that I must tell you things, yes, indeed, that I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, if they could, if they could, to destroy. So we who are wise, know my brothers and sisters, the Most High grants his spirit to teach all things, even to bring all things to remembrance. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even to rebuke all that is the error that has been the destruction of our people. After trusting into what, rather than having been worthy in all things to his glory, has rather been various controlling, fallen, if you will, bodies of knowledge, hegemonies, controlling bodies of knowledge, far from the fullness of what the Most High has declared. We must remember. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, no question about it. It is written in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which he has revealed belong to us, and they belong to our children forever. It was prophesied in advance that there would come a time when all those things spoken of old, again, we're continuing from 29:29, Deuteronomy on through the 30th chapter. It is written of old that those things which are spoken of old shall be surely in the latter days brought again to our remembrance. It should have always been a common expectation for all our people. But my brothers and sisters, rather than that being the case, we must consider that there has been indeed, according to all prophecy, much that has been forgotten while we were scattered in diaspora, much that has not been given fullest consideration while we were scattered among the nations. Romans 11:25-27. The Apostle Shaul related that indeed, even as other apostles had also written, he wrote that surely scattered among the nations, or scattered among the Gentiles, that after the schemes of those who would keep men blind, that the ruling parties of the nations would indeed succeed, and that Israel would remain in some degree blind, even till the times of the Gentiles would come to an end. Well, my brothers and sisters, what this means is that very much like what is written in Isaiah 59, it means the way of peace men have not known. In this latter day, my brothers and sisters, it means that men have not discerned the full, pure, and perfect truth. Men have been blinded after the constraints of the various nations in which they, in so many ways, like it or not, have been compromisingly assimilated. Without question, my brothers and sisters, the prophecies would not have spoken of a time of remembrance were this not so. The scripture says the deliverer will come out of Zion to those who return from transgression in Jacob. In other words, to stand in defense of those who would seek the restoration of all truth, beyond all those who would keep men transgressors divided after the various ideals of the many nations. Well, consider, my brothers and sisters, the gospel was always a word transcended all the divisions of mankind. The gospel was always a pure and perfect word that was to convert the nations, not the nations, my brothers and sisters, but seek to take that word and twist and constrain it after their own ideals. The gospel was always a word to bring discipline. I said to bring discipline to the nations. He said, go forth and make disciples of all nations, convert all nations, teach them everything. Oh, realize that a word that was to go forth to all the nations, to convert all the nations, must be a law. It must be a dimension of refinement, my brothers and sisters. It must be a dimension of refinement that the true people of the Most High no longer be polluted in any way by any of the misconceits, by any of the presumptuousness, by any of the misimaginations, nor misadministrations of men. If we say we have one Most High, our brothers and sisters, we must remember what the scriptures mean. It says, you shall have no other that you call supreme but he. So you don't swear by his name after the fallen standards, i.e., if you will, vanities, worthlessness that is the ideal or the standard of another. He said, we would not be counted blameless if this we were to do. My brothers and sisters, it's time that we understand, without question, something that I spoke about rather heavily, actually, on the last show. I wanted to leave it up a couple of days before going to elaborate further. In that show, it's the last show that I did. It would have been Shabbat night, or let's just say the night after leading into the end of Shabbat. In that show, I related a very precious point as to how many and how much scripture, and they're believing so much more than I had a chance to mention on that night, that relates to the grace of Yah being that which would refine mankind, i.e., if you will, purge the hearts and souls of men of every misconceit taught by every false ruler. That is the grace of Yah. Even the very word grace relates to refinement, if you will, my brothers and sisters, a beauty or a beautifying. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, very often in the scriptures, when it talks about beauty, it is exactly talking about something made glorious, honorable, acceptable, steadfast, confirmed. Yes, my brothers and sisters, well, I will say the word again, refined, in order to be counted acceptable under the kingdom of Yah. Or dare men say that whatever men just blatantly just imagine is somehow to be called acceptable unto a holy kingdom whose ruler is Yah, even through his Messiah? And my brothers and sisters, not after the will of any other. Dare men say, my brothers and sisters, that when the scriptures talk about the fact that, quite frankly, it says that this one word should go forth unto all nations, teaching them all the same thing. One scripture says a lawgiver should be a common expectation. A lawgiver, my brothers and sisters, out of Judah should be a common expectation. All the people, even till he who is called Shiloh, or the peace, shall come. I'm looking here in the chat, and I noticed that I put up some, I find this amazing. Yeah, well, anyway, I put up quite a bit of information with regard to the topic that I'm speaking about tonight. But I see also that somehow Blog Talk Radio's intro page didn't put in italics a lot of things that I did put in italics to relate the idea that these are the implicative ideas that are contained in the scriptures that you might not see in the translations. For the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the effort that I had gone through was to relate the point, but the Most High told me directly to know what is written and not know why it is written is surely, without question, to miss the point. And it's utmost important, my brothers and sisters, that we all arrive at discerning initial divine intent, else we be in error. So if the scriptures say such things, as in Acts, for instance, Acts 3:18-23, it says, relative to the scripture we find in 18:5, that Messiah comes. Yes. In fact, the scripture says, relative to the scriptures in Genesis 49:10, one called Shiloh comes out of the tribe of Judah. It's not Moshe. He came from the tribe of Levi. In fact, quite frankly, Moshe told the tribe of Levi that they would certainly, surely fall away from the faith. Malachi said the same. One that is to fix things, the scripture says, is a lawgiver out of Judah. Let that be considered. Given that consideration, my brothers and sisters, the question to ask is this: have all really expected this lawgiver out of Judah who will finally bring peace? Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, if the scripture says whoever will not hearken to him will be cut off from among the people, it says he will bring to remembrance all things spoken by the Most High through the mouth of his prophets since the world began. It's evident, my brothers and sisters, after the Holy Spirit, what this one brings is without question a law. One standard unto all, that's a law. If we think about it, brothers and sisters, the scriptures in Isaiah 42 says, I'll shall wait for his what? His law. Genesis 49 says your expectation, really means your expectation of one who holds the scepter. And if we go ahead and look closely at the scriptures concerning him, at Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19, that one who holds the scepter certainly is the Messiah. Scripture says he comes out of the tribe of Judah. And there should remain the expectation of a lawgiver to come from his loins, his seed. Well, that expectation should remain for our people until Shiloh come. What is Shiloh? Scripture calls Shiloh him unto whom it belongs. The context of Shiloh is also him who brings peace. If he comes unto whom it all belongs, him who is the air, the earth belonging to Yah, and the fullness thereof, how do men get the impression that they have a right to divide up this world according to what they want to call or relate as another heritage? Hey, all over the world, I see people saying they want a land and a territory in which they could exalt themselves according to what they call a heritage. But how many are looking to consider what the Most High declared from the beginning is a mutual standard for all that he has made? Until Shiloh come, be a constant expectation of one to come out of Judah who would bring this peace. Has peace come to the earth yet? If the earth has not yet seen this peace that is promised, will cause all nations to gather unto him. Isaiah 11 talks about he comes a second time to regather his people. Unto him shall all the nations seek. He for whom you are waiting shall suddenly come to the temple. The Lord whom you seek, Malachi said. Scripture says he's going to reprove all the sons of Levi, reprove all his people beyond all the corruption of the sons of Levi, who, if you read Malachi's 2nd to 3rd chapter, you just got through rebuking. Scripture talks about the Lord for whom you seek again, if you will, or he for whom you are waiting. They who wait for him shall renew their strength. That scripture's back over there again. I keep mentioning it back over in Isaiah 40:27-41:4. When the Most High raises up, who shall suddenly come to expose all the darkness, reveal the light the world has sought to obscure. Scripture says he has to expose all the kings and priests of the world. Well, that's why the scripture said he wouldn't be expected. He says he's the one you should be expecting, should be waiting, should delight. We see he comes suddenly and unexpectedly, because guess what? According to all implications of scripture, men have not been taught how he would appear. And believe it, my brothers and sisters, knowing what I know and what you can find, for instance, on my website, for instance, in the article Secret City Prophecies, my website, hiddengospel.com, believing what the nations have taught with regard to how Messiah shall appear is far from, hear me again, my brothers and sisters, far, far from the truth. So, the scripture says this one out of Judah should be expected until ultimately peace shall come. Why, my brothers and sisters, have men considered themselves already, and how could men already consider themselves in all things faithful? And this peace, this pure, perfect word, is evidentiary, not with some 45,000 different denominations have by any means upheld. Purity and completion would offer one choice. I see a lot of folks sit back talking about the idea, but they, you know, all been baptized in the Spirit of Christ. What spirit is that if you get 45,000 differences out of it? 45,000 different denominations? All say they're functioning by the same spirit? If this was the Holy Spirit we're talking about, I repeat, if this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about, men were led by that spirit. And the scripture says those who are led by that spirit are the sons of Yah. It said those who believed in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. Why do people have so many different concepts of what they call the truth? I've said it before, I'll say it again on this show, that so much of what men have believed and called a Christ, our brothers and sisters, and so much what men have called a Christ, well, we need to consider what the scriptures talk about in Revelation 13. Coming after the slaughter of so many as were slaughtered in the early of the early church in the first centuries. Scripture says men began to worship something having horns like a lamb, seeming to be the Savior, but speaking as a dragon. Mattathiah, they called Matthew, talks about a great tribulation, a murderous time that had to be shortened. Early centuries of the church, my brothers and sisters, scripture said after that time will come a rise of false prophets, men preaching false, fallen, foolish, deceptive, seeming to be wise, seem to be sufficient testimony, but far short of the glory of what honors the Most High. Well, as I said before, my brothers and sisters, knowing that without question, the Most High will surely perform everything that he has declared, knowing that he has declared a covenant to mankind, that man might be true to him from the very beginning, and that covenant could not nor ever will change in terms of its what's expected in its eventuality, then we are going to have to ask ourselves some serious, serious questions. Have we as a people preserve the sanctity of that pure, perfect word, and have many become simply in so many ways fatally flattered and compromised because rulers sit back and told us what we had was enough. Well, have we sought the full refinement? Scripture says should be anticipated in the coming of Messiah. Have we sought to truly do what the scriptures say Messiah commanded? Say we ought to watch out for false prophets. It means really fall, any manner of fallen testimony. Say we ought to watch out for false prophets. False testimony. And it should fit insufficient, if you will, even partial testimony in institutions. It would keep men enslaved to being exploited. He said, not everyone who cries out, I am Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of Yah. Why? He said, few are they who find that path that leads to life. Why? Because of an abundance of false prophets misrepresenting the truth. And it means then that if men can fall short or fall away after their imaginings, turn away from what is the common salvation that was once delivered to the saints. That's what the book of Judah says. The men follow after their own licentiousness, lasciviousness, flesh and this lawlessness. But it means that, my brothers and sisters, it means, it says common salvation means a common healing, the common being made whole, common covenant, the common law. It means, my brothers and sisters, that certainly there is an absolute rule that all are to abide by. The question I have to ask, my brothers and sisters, have we thought, has this society been compelled to think of the grace of Yah as a gift unto refinement, being prepared unto his holy kingdom? Or have men somehow felt that after whatever diverse standards seem wise to men, that they're good in the sight of the Most High, that he will never send one who will judge or refine mankind or restore indeed what is a pure and whole righteousness? I've talked before about this concept of this word Christ. Has pagan origins, my brothers and sisters. Remember the scripture says they pervert the grace of Yah. The men fall after their own licentiousness. Book of Judah, they call it Jude. But it says Messiah will have to come and reprove all this unbelief and all this, these unclean, ungodly words that men have spoken. We have to convince them against all this unrighteousness in his appearing. You ever stop to consider then, my brothers and sisters, the favor and the gift of the Most High, therefore the grace of the Most High, must be the opportunity to be refined beyond all the variant pollutions and miscreant doctrines and misadministrations of man? I spoke about this a few nights ago, and with as much as I elaborated upon this topic, I could have gone ahead. I've talked about a lot of things, like Isaiah 30, concerning this. One of the things I wanted to go through is the scriptures, for instance, in Isaiah 48. And it talks about the people having sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. And so the Most High will have to refine his people. He will have to defer his anger because men have misrepresented him. Whether wittingly or not, they still misrepresented him. He said you have to defer his anger, give his people a chance to hear his word, to be refined. He said he will not give his glory. The praise is due to him, to be dishonored after the designs of another. He said, but who is there among you who can declare these things? So the Lord has loved him. How about favored him? How about the Most High has what? Refined him? That he should know. One scripture says how to declare a word to the weary. Morning by morning, the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching. Means he's been disciplined, refined by the Most High to discern beyond all the misconceits of man. Yes, to overcome all the illusions of the world. Finally, the scripture says to do what pleases the Most High against Babylon, all the confusions of the man in the land, we call it the land of the Chaldeans. To show men the way that they should go. How about the men no longer are so easily dissuaded by so many worldly, ungodly distractions? How about ungodly misrepresentations? Do you really believe 45,000 denominations teaching something different is the work of the Holy Spirit? Do you really believe that 45,000 different denominations is the work of a holy testimony that is from Yah alone? Scripture says those who are led by him, didn't say by any other, or the sons of Yah. Said those who believe in him, he gave them power to become the sons of Yah. He didn't say trusting in any other. Said Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're considering in the East, the son was someone that he disciplined. Whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, the scripture in Romans 2 said he who dies without the law perishes without the law. Can people really believe that the grace of Yah is that men are left lawless? No common sense of rule. Nothing after which they might be called steadfast and confirmed, that they would be true unto the order and peace the Most High expects in his kingdom. Something is desperately wrong, my brothers and sisters. Something is very desperately wrong. Like I said, the book of Yehuda said they pervert the grace of Yah. How about that which will refine men beyond all worldly illusions and lies? They pervert it after their own lawlessness. Lasciviousness. Fleshliness. How about undisciplined carnality? Is the carnal mind, my brothers and sisters, the ungoverned mind, the undisciplined mind, the mind that has gone reprobate, is that the mind that is to be considered refined, my brothers and sisters, pure, after all there was initial intent? Is the mind left, my brothers and sisters, without guidance and without knowledge, is that supposed to be considered a refinement? Think about it. They tell you the way they've translated these scriptures that says that you're not under the law by grace. What did the pagans call a law? What did pagan rulers call a law? They just didn't want people to argue about all the differences that were sanctioned in their various polytheist governments. In other words, think about it. Like you hear right now, they tell you in America you're supposed to sanction whatever, though it might not be scriptural, you're supposed to sanction whatever their so-called constitution tells you somehow is suddenly to be called legal, lawful. Lawful by whose standard? Really? Now, things have been legislated, my brothers and sisters. Most High told me way back some 30 years ago now. And before it's all said and done, you're going to see some of everything legislated into law that you would have imagined would be so. Sounds like total, complete irreverence against the Most High, my brothers and sisters, casting aside all sense of a reference point. And men have still said that it is Yah that they have praised. Perverting the grace of Yah to appease their flesh. Think about it. Ungoverned flesh can sit back and try to find ways to make some of anything seem somehow just. Is it just and true according to all the Most High declared, or just simply what appeals to men in the society that commercializes whatever it is? It will appeal to the undisciplined masses. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters, really do. Because if men really believe the lack of discipline we see in the society we see in the society today, the lawlessness we see in the society we see today, the contradiction we see in the society we see today is acceptable under the kingdom that the Most High has promised to come. It really means, my brothers and sisters, that so many of us have no concept at all as to what is the nature of the one Most High, Yah. But the scriptures even go as far as to say point blank that the one that is to come will come out of the tribe of Judah. They're supposed to be looking for somebody to come out of the sky. Sounds quite lawless to me, especially in light of Isaiah 49. It says, he would say, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. Now, let's call all nations to one peace. He says, no peace to the lawless. Listen to me, all ye isles, all ye nations. The Most High is calling from the womb. From the body of my mother, as he made mention of my name. That's not somebody coming out of the sky, my brothers and sisters. Not somebody coming out of the sky at all. But nevertheless, they've created this fanciful concept of Messiah. And when the scripture says in Isaiah 42, is someone, the scripture says, the Most High said he put his spirit upon. Behold my servant, elect my soul delight. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. I shall wait for his law. Where do people get this idea about somebody popping out of the sky? What do you expect? Something as big as the moon or something like that coming out? Please. That was never the concept of the Messiah, my brothers. It was never the concept of an anointed one. But many have been tricked into that alternate idea because they just simply haven't known all the scriptures have to say about the idea. And that, too, my brothers and sisters, not knowing what all the scriptures have to say about this, quite frankly, the scriptures declare sin. The Most High told you that someone is to come to declare all that's contained in the law and the prophets. If we were wise, we would have all known to continue to look for everything contained in the law and the prophets, so we might not be so easily deceived by those who would leave people lacking. He said a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Only having a little bit, but not enough to see the whole picture, my brothers and sisters, is in so many ways to be easily deceived. But there are those who would seek to be flattered, comforted in their lack of knowledge, and willing to pay to have somebody tell them everything's all right. And in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, so much is just so far, far wrong. So, like I said, there are many times in the scriptures that talk about how the Most High must refine his people. He says he has to bring them back from all the varying ideas of the nations. Did you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, they're talking about gathering his people from the midst of the nations? Do you know the Hebrew word for nations is beasts? How about those brutish in their thinking? How about those, my brothers and sisters, who refuse to realize that the thoughts of the Most High are very deep, and they only want a surface-level perception of something that they can easily twist out of context? So they're going to bring people back from the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations. Maybe he's going to show them a wisdom beyond the false law that seems wise, seems just, for those who want to make accommodation for every undisciplined, unrefined, irreverent concept known to man. Not under the law, but under grace, my brothers and sisters, meaning not subject to the fallen standards of men, because the Most High, as a gift, as a kindness, to prepare you for the righteousness of his kingdom, is granted an opportunity to be refined, led by him. Do you think men are led by the Most High, my brothers and sisters, to believe such things as homosexuality, for instance, which they legalized gay marriage and greater part, in fact, all of what they call the so-called New England states in this country have legalized it. My brothers and sisters, is that lawful? According to the law of the Most High, is that an obscure law? Or is that an absolution? Do you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that if we lack knowledge with regard to anything the Most High has said, and we choose to call any law the Most High has said obscure so as to appease ourselves, that too is sin? Truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, whenever Israel would ever, seem to have a discrepancy and falling short of the exactitude or not understanding the exactitude or what the law of the Most High is, that men might walk according to it. There was supposed to be a powwow, sisters. I'm just telling you. Hey, something we don't understand how we should deal with. There should have been a time of people gathering together and petitioning the Most High with everything in their hearts to assure that nothing is taken out of context. There be no misadministration. He said Israel should seek him with all mind, heart, soul, and might. Seek and love him with all mind, heart, soul, and might. That we love our neighbor as ourselves. How about we be a righteous example unto all, that Israel be as Yah is one, so a people who are also agreed as one. So I'll be frank with you. The other night I spoke about this idea about the grace of Yah being a refinement. The very word grace relates to time, refinement. Don't be tricked by this idea that word they coined gentleman, Gentile man, all being refined, having promoted a differing standard. Don't be tricked. I spoke about a lot of these things this past, like I said, evening after Shabbat, a couple of nights ago. And quite frankly, I'll just tell you, as it seemed to me, that seemed to be such a highly rational, easy way of trying to get some people to understand some things, especially since I related that word for law. The heathen, in their undisciplined irrationality, didn't even have a word to relate the difference between divine law and the world law, and the so-called ruler, their rulers. Totally disrespectful and indiscriminate in their lack of reverence for a divine absolute. Dare men, like I said, my brothers and sisters, think that the gift of the Most High is an indiscriminate spirit? It doesn't discern between good and evil. It doesn't discern between what is pure and what is polluted. Between what was initial divine intent and what was coming as a result of man's ungoverned imaginations. I spoke about this idea about the grace of Yah being refinement. Must then therefore be refinement unto a far greater law. It would seem that that concept should be so easy for those who have a heart to grasp. Some of you did. Frank with you, I'm in contact with a few forums here and there. And I even wound up writing about that concept on a few forums. Concept that I related on the show. I was quite surprised that, though I did get response, and I'm thankful to the Most High for those who were compelled to respond, they did catch on. How few seem to find it within their hearts to relate in elaboration upon those words. Because it should have been, to be quite frank with you, that concept is so pivotal toward understanding so much else. It seemed to me that those who would understand it would go forth rejoicing to tell everyone they knew. Make sure that's understood quickly, not to be overlooked or misread in any way. Especially among folks who say they keep Torah. Because they realize the grace of the Most High is the opportunity to better understand the law of the Most High. Well, all I can say is it appears to me that perhaps some people don't want to see it, the grace of the Most High, the capacity to see the law as one, because everybody wants to pick things out their own way. Is that what's really going on here? Like I say, if you realize that the prophecies say that the Most High will send a lawgiver like unto Moshe, and Moshe said ultimately he would come so to even to bring to mind all the things that even he had said. That it means there's an absolute understanding of the Torah that, quite frankly, if everybody had, it'd be a far better sense of definition as to what is truly the children of Israel, what truly is the sons of Abraham, or what men rather prefer to continue to exalt themselves before others, even misguiding many, just seeking to seek esteem for themselves. Scripture says you must love the Most High with all your mind, heart, and soul. Seek him with all your mind, heart, and soul. How about that you might not misguide, deceive, destroy your brother? Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? That's the Shema. That's the covenant. Should everybody be so heavily desirous to exalt themselves, they care not whether their brothers are misled. So the Most High look upon that blasphemous insult against his gift, against his vision, against what pleases him, and look upon such a people and say that they are honorable before him? Or have we really considered, all of us, been willing to consider why the scripture says whoever curses Israel is accursed, or whoever calls another word unright, or to call the word that is far from right and is far from complete and calls it the gospel, let him be accursed? Like I said, so I said, go forth and teach all nations everything. That's the faith that was bring forth a blessing to the world. Did he say a blessing? I mean, the oneness, a reconciliation to the world. So the one called Shiloh is a lawgiver. Does it mean he brings a broken law or the fullness of one? Most I tell me to know again what is written and not know why it is said. Is the missed point. Before there were words, my brothers and sisters, there were thoughts. The word of Yah discerns the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Many times, my brothers and sisters, how men have a tendency in so many cases to misinterpret the word to appease themselves, rather than looking for all that would appease Yah. The thoughts and intents of the hearts, my brothers and sisters, are oftentimes determined, many times determined, by how many, might be found to prefer to see or think the scriptures, or see the scriptures in terms of what their intents are and their meaning. Like I said, if you can really believe that the grace, the gift, the favor of the Most High, that he leaves a people indiscriminate, so all they know how to do is lie against them, against the Most High, and misrepresent him before, as an example for their brothers. You really believe that that scripture is talking about that by the grace of Yah, you're not subject to his divine law, then whose law are you saying that you desire to be under? What else do you call lawful? Who do you seek to bring forth an offering unto? Is it what appeases the Most High, or what merely appeases yourself? Scripture says the wicked, the ignorant, and unstable. Quite frankly, I'm just telling you what's written over at 2 Kathan, 2 Peter 3:14 through 18. It talks about those who are wicked. That means lawless. Those without foundation, unstable. Hey, not really looking for discipline then. Even though scripture says you, in preparation for the coming of Messiah, you should seek to be made righteous under all godliness. It says those who are wicked, ignorant, and unstable will tend to pervert the meaning, not only of Paul's word, but he said all the other scriptures. That they fall after the error of the lawless. Because maybe what it's saying is, look at it, my brothers and sisters. Some will tend to pervert and disrupt and not seek the true meaning of the scriptures because they really didn't want to do what was right in the first place. So it seemed to me that, quite frankly, it stands to reason if you talk about grace, and the word grace really relates to refinement now. It really relates favor. It relates a gift. It relates a kindness. Knowing, as I said before, the Most High declared a covenant from the beginning. It is his kindness then that he reveals to his people what is his expectation. Those who led him will be called the sons of Yah. I mean, they will be granted, though granted under his discipline, what is worthy to be acceptable unto his kingdom. He said, a people who will not know his ways shall not enter into his rest. Read Psalms 95, read Hebrews 3 and 4. It says, the people whose hearts are misled and have not known his ways, he has sworn by his very name, they won't enter into his kingdom. Yet people think the grace, the gift of the Most High, that they don't have knowledge of his law. That seems so much insanity to me, my brothers and sisters. But there are those who prefer not to really think about that sort of thing. Like I said, I spoke about Isaiah 30 as another example. It's fairly replete. Like I said, I'm talking about Isaiah 48, tell me one who shows you the way that you should go. That's relating an absolute law, my brothers and sisters, beyond all the confusions of men, the varying affairs and standards of the nations. Isaiah 30, woe to those who take counsel, but not from the Most High, who would offer an offering, but not after his spirit, not after his instruction, not after his testimony. Refusing to be led by him. He told us that I told you in advance. This worship, let it be in the book of the testimony, book of the tablets of testimony forever, it said. It said, that this form of worship is in vain. It means it's worship after the precepts of men, not Yah. Talk about men having words learned by rote. With the lips they draw them, their hearts far from them, the worship towards them after the precepts of men. What appeases or seems to appease or compromise is compromised to appease the variant standards of men rather than one Most High. Let me tell you something. No pluralist system is true to the will of one. It says this worship is in vain, worthless. Talks about those who he called false sons because they would not hear his instruction, would not hear his commands, would not hear his law. Saying to the prophets, cause the Holy One of Israel. How about the law of the Holy One of Israel? They say return from him. Wait a minute. Is that, the scripture calls it a blasphemy, a total insult. In Hebrews 10:26, not to receive or want the discipline of the Most High, or to seek to turn away. He called them false sons who would do this. He said, this iniquity, this injustice for doing this, will be such a thing, the Most High says, it should be, for those who think this way, it shall be like the breaking of a potter's vessel, an unclean potter's vessel that is broken without pity. There should not even be a piece large enough to take water from the cistern. In other words, not even a piece in it big enough to maintain or preserve any manner of corruption, or untruth, or pollution. A foolish ideal. And it says, though you have partaken of the bread of affliction, how about false doctrine among the nations? He said he began to be gracious unto you, for he is a holy one of justice. How about righteousness? How about lawfulness? And it says, though you had not for a time, get the point, seen your teacher, said your eyes should behold your teacher, one who shall say to you, this is the way. How about this is the law? Don't turn aside from it, neither to the right nor to the left. But there are those who want to call themselves Israel today that would presume, and some have even gone as far as to say that a lawgiver like that, to declare an absolute, is not something to expect. And some even go as far as to say if you expect an intercessor of any kind, he said, that's Catholic. Well, let me tell you something. Not to expect the coming of one who must come because the whole world is falling short of the glory of Yah. None righteous, no, not one. Not to expect one the Most High will raise up to make righteousness, to reveal again righteousness. Well, let me tell you something. That definitely falls into a Roman theme. It falls after the snares of a Roman scheme. Because guess what? The concept of a Messiah was never one indiscriminately compromised after all the varied rulerships of this world. In fact, the concept of, they would have not said the word Christ. They would even use the concept of Messiah, or they would have used the concept of Kurdi. Don't know what I'm talking about? Please look at my website, hiddengospel.com. There's an article there called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Kurdi meaning someone ultimately, my brothers and sisters, who declares the ultimate righteousness and variant light of the Most High. Means it does not change. It is not destabilized in any way after the variant misconceits of man. Now, this concept they have of Christ, 45,000 denominations, all saying that they're following him in all their different ways. You need to think about where the origin of that concept came from. It's not from Yah. He was never called Jesus. He was never called Christ. Now, the spirit of Isis and Zeus was an indiscriminate one indeed. Let me tell you something. They had to try to find ways to cover that up when they found out they're saying Isis Christos, the anointed of Zeus and Isis. Wow, what spirit do you think that is? The one called the Kurdi is called Shiloh, my brothers and sisters. I'm looking at the time that I have left. Scripture says peace will not come until he appears. The discernment to cast aside all the corruptions, misconceits of this world, the intrusions of false doctrines that come from the various principalities and powers among the nations. They said they would not be fully purged out until he appears. He said he would not give this glory or this honor to another. If you knew that absolutely, guess what? You would have known to seek the truth to understand what Messiah meant when he said, really, that your righteousness, your sense of what all is contained in the law and the prophets, must exceed that of all your variant, contentious, partial in the law, treacherously hypocritical, polluted rulers. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah, because he wants to bring back a people. Restored to initial righteousness as it was before the nations were ever divided. Like I said, whoever gave anybody, think about it, whoever gave anybody seconds. So-called authority to take the earth that belongs to the Most High, divided up according to ideals the Most High never declared, never based upon the initial foundation, and sit back and say, as some of these recent meetings we talked about on this show, you know, Pope has been talking to. I had a couple of meetings with Obama, a couple of meetings with the various prime ministers of both Israel and England.
60 seconds.
Meeting with various rulers, with rulers from what they call them on the Palestinians, Islamic rulers, the Islamic prayers right there in the Vatican. They get together and they sit back and say they're going to pray to the Most High to preserve their various territorial controls over men. That's really what it amounts to. Ask the Most High to let them continue to divide his earth. Do you hear me? To divide his earth against himself and think that that is of the spirit of the Most High. But this is time to wake up. It's really time to wake up. Realize what the refining grace of the Most High is that reveals his law beyond all of the flaw, the false law. False law. Look at it.
10 seconds.
Then the dictates of man. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near, and to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah! Thank you all again. Yes, indeed. For listening. We all seek you.